Take your Bibles, open to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. This Easter Sunday will be remembered for quite a while as the Easter when the Lord's people could not physically assemble together in the sanctuary here and worship the Lord together. And I echo Brother Gary's missing of Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff is our music leader. And he leads the singing normally on Sunday morning, but we do it by the screen. Sunday nights, Brother Gary leads, and we have a piano and a hymn book. So we're having to do the Sunday night singing on Sunday morning because we don't have the screen in order to do that. But Brother Jeff, enjoy your time off because we're going to put you to work as soon as you come back. All right, we appreciate all of the ministries that are here in the church and for the faithfulness of those who serve the Lord in them. So Easter is a time that we normally have breakfast together as a church family. The boys and girls have a time before Sunday school where they hunt the Easter eggs and have a time of fellowship. And so we normally have a great Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to do that from the homes. And as I said last time, is our first service back together. We're going to have an Easter Sunday service. So we'll still have that breakfast and fellowship and time together. All right. We are, even though we are not assembling here in the sanctuary, we are at least assembling together electronically and spiritually in our homes this morning. While this will never, ever replace in-person fellowship and worship, the presence of the Lord can never, ever be taken away from us. Quarantine us, and you quarantine us with the presence of Jesus Christ. Imprison us, and you imprison us, and lock us up with the presence of Jesus Christ. Put us to death, and you've released our soul and spirit to be in the actual presence of Jesus Christ. You can't do anything with God's people. And as I've explained before, the audio sermons have been on our website for several years now, and the video sermons just last month have come up, and now the whole service is being recorded. Only for our church family can still worship as we regularly do. But, and that's why we did the explanation that we're not professionals. This is not a choreographed production that is designed for the television ministry and the internet ministry and so forth. This is designed for our church family to worship as we normally do. And once we get back together, the website will only have the sermons until such a time that we can go live streaming. So pray for us as we endeavor to try to serve the Lord as effectively as we can. So even though that this preaching from Burton is available literally all over the world, We welcome you and praise each and every one of you for joining us. But I'm preaching primarily to the church family the Lord has called me to. My main responsibility is to feed the flock of God that He has made me the overseer and the under-shepherd of here in Burton. And we do that from His Word. And you're always welcome. Outside of our church family, you're always, always welcome to eat of the fragments which fall from the Master's table. And if you stay long enough, you might just gather together about 12 baskets full. Now, I said all that to say I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to preach this morning to those of you that are listening or watching that are not a part of the church family here at First Burton. Our folks have heard this before, if they've been around for a while, But they always will listen so that their beliefs will be enforced. But I want to talk to you folks that are not quite in, not quite out of church. And to those of you that are not yet Christians. Just like Christmas, Easter is a wonderful time to explain the gospel message of Jesus Christ and what it is that Christians are celebrating today. We are celebrating the bodily resurrection from the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an essential foundational belief of Christianity because there is no Christianity without it. Now, what's so special about this one Bible doctrine that merits its own special day? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would look to me to verse 12, and verse 14 will be our text. Starting in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Now, in verse 12, he said, some are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. They're saying that today. Same thing, because they just simply cannot accept it. It's too impossible to believe. And that's because they start with themselves instead of starting with God. The human intellect is severely limited to the logically reasonable, to the visually proved, and to what can be understood and comprehended. But the only way God can be understood by the human intellect is that the mind creates God so that he can be understood. But that's backwards. God created the mind as he created each and every one of us. And he makes faith available as a free gift to exercise on his word to believe before the understanding comes. The understanding comes, the intellect is involved, but only after faith has come. Until that happens, just follow along and listen very carefully to the reasoning that is taking place here. Because the Holy Spirit acknowledges that some who do not have faith may be listening. As we go through chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. So he, through Paul, is going to take the statement that there is no resurrection of the dead. In other words, you just die as an offshoot of the gorilla family and you cease to exist. And that's it. End of story. The Holy Spirit, he's going to take that statement and he's going to follow it out to the end conclusion. Now he said in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's where you begin to take it. If that's true, then this is true. And if that's true, it would mean that Christ is not risen from the grave. He died and remained dead, and he no longer exists. That's what it means if there is no resurrection of the dead, like some say. If that's true, verse 14 says, if Christ be not risen, also our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. What is preached and taught and read from the scriptures is of absolutely no value whatsoever. It's empty. It's void of any worth, and it's a total waste of time. If it's true that there's no resurrection of the dead, if there's no value in God's word, then there's no value in believing and accepting it by faith as a revealing of the truth of God and who He is. It's all a fable. It's a fairy tale. It's a fictional story that somebody made up. And if that's true, verse 15 says, we're found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Then all of the apostles are liars. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. They're all bald-faced liars if there is no resurrection of the dead. If there is no life after death, no resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only are these liars, but God Himself would have to be a liar because He spoke through these apostles. If there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 16 said, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Worm food. Their life meant nothing. Just a complete waste of time. And it served absolutely no purpose whatsoever. Verse 19 said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 32, the second half said, what advantage is it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If our only hope as Christians is to be found in this life, then we would join in the misery of the lost and the non-Christians who are deluding themselves with their own opinions and philosophies, temporarily masking their misery in alcohol and drugs and immorality and in the entertainment playthings. We would be with them in their misery if in this life is our only hope. Now here comes the statement in verse 20. But now, is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? He's the first to rise from the dead. Many will follow. And so he makes the statement emphatically. Verse 21, because, for, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All that are in Christ shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. In the harvest. He then works out from there that statement that we that are in Christ by salvation will experience the same thing that Jesus Christ experienced when He rose from the dead. Our bodies will be raised up and rejoined with our soul and spirit that has been in the presence of the Lord, just as it happened to Jesus Christ. So let's put down as number one, from verse 4 and verse 20, that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And I understand that That is absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and to accomplish that. That would mean he was more than simply a human being. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, and a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. John chapter 1 in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Chapter 20 of John, verse 31, the reason that the Holy Spirit has moved John to pen these words. John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Every unexplainable miracle that Jesus Christ performed was to authenticate who He was and is. God in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 2 declares that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, excuse me, verse 16. Another 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the Spirit, in the flesh. God. Underline that. God, not He, God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Some of you might not be able to find this verse. You need to go find you a translation that has this verse and you'll find the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And that matches with verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Three in heaven, three in earth. Jesus Christ is God. So let's put down as number two from this that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Now, I understand that that is absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and to attain to that. Three are one. But yet, so are we. Spirit, soul, body, made in the image of God. For Him to be God and yet leave His position in heaven, that would mean that He had to be sent. So let's put down as number three from this that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent from the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent from the Father. I understand that that is absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and fathom. That would mean He had to be born a human being while still remaining to be God. He had to be born a completely different way than normal people are. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God said to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Women do not have a seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He had to be born of a virgin, otherwise he would have possessed a sin nature that every human being is born with, that is passed by the seed of the man. Now back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it said, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So let's put down as number 4 from this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the virgin. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the virgin. I understand that that's absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and to grasp. That would mean he had to live completely different than normal people would live. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was born without a sin nature. And he lived without committing a single solitary sin. And he obeyed and satisfied the law of God completely and totally. So let's put down as number 5 from this, that the Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Now, I understand that that is absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and to get. That would mean he had a purpose and he had a reason for being sent by the Father to be born of the Virgin Mary and to live a sinless life. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. I want you to see that these are coming directly from the Scriptures. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did he come? What was his purpose? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Second Corinthians 5 again. The rest of verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single human being that is born of Adam, every human being, with the exception of Jesus Christ, was born with a sin nature. And because of that, they were born a sinner. And by free choice, they sinned. Every human being. And they've come short of the perfection of God that would allow a human being to enter into heaven for all of eternity. Ephesians chapter 2 gives us the condition that the lost are in before salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 said, you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 12 said that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That was our position before Jesus Christ came. Back in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's not just a physical death. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So this death that is accomplished as a result of our sin and our sin nature, it ends up in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hell, those that have died without Christ, the unrighteous dead, are resurrected out of hell, and they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ seated on his throne. This is the second death. The wages of sin is death. It includes this death. And it said in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So let's put down as number 6 from this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save, to rescue, to deliver human beings that are under the undeliverable penalty and bondage of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save. I understand that that is absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and to take in. That would mean that he had to die a death completely different than normal people. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom for many. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 again, when Paul declares the gospel, in verse 3 he said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. And then John 19 says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him and cried out, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall, and he said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and he sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture, they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation the day before the high Sabbath of Passover on Thursday. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they looked on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, when was never yet a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So let's put down as number 7 from this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die on a cross in our place in order to save us from sin and from all its consequences. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die on a cross. I understand that that is completely and absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and accept. That would mean he had to resurrect. He had to raise from the dead in order to carry out and complete the mission. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. in John chapter 20, in verse 3, it said, Peter therefore went out, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. And then Luke chapter 24 again. Verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And then back in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians again. Chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, let's put down from that, number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now understand that that's absolutely impossible for a human being to comprehend and believe unless God reveals this from His Word by faith, making it so simple that even a child can comprehend and understand that all this of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If Christ be not risen, that is what is absolutely impossible to comprehend and believe. God the Father did all this through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, in order to reconcile us to Himself and bring us to heaven with Him for all of eternity without end. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy or girl, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The risen Lord Jesus Christ invites you to do that right now as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did before the foundation of the world for our sin and the impossibility of our position of being lost and undone and separated from you. But you did something that we could never do. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place and pay the penalty in our place. And he not only died, paying the penalty, paying the price, but he rose again. And he's now seated at your right hand, making intercession to whoever would right now receive you as Savior. And we pray that would take place. Lord, we pray for all those that are affected by this illness, this pandemic, this pestilence that you've allowed to travel around the world, so that one more time, in your grace and in your mercy, you can offer forgiveness and salvation to all that would ask for it right now. Open their heart, Lord. And may they invite you to come in. I pray for your people. Strengthen us in these days. Draw us closer together to you and to each other. And Lord, may we become more spiritually strong by what we've experienced here recently. We love you and we worship you and we thank you and we praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come and stand. This is the time after the preaching for an invitation. We invite, along with the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to Him. Come to Him in salvation. Come to Him in repentance. Come to Him as His children to pray for yourself, to pray in intercession for others, for in your family, for those that you know, to bring your care, to bring your burden, and to awaken to our responsibility as His people in these last days. As we play this song of invitation, just as I am, just as you are right now, we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being in our worship service today. We praise the Lord for you. We are longing for the days to end that we can come back together and worship Him as a church family and to fellowship with one another again. Those of you that are outside our church family that have listened in, thank you so much for joining us. If you do not have a church home and you're from this area, we invite you to come and to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. If you have any questions, please contact us here at the church. We'll try to answer those questions for you. Until then, have a blessed and happy Easter, and celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you until we come back again. Amen.